So Manny, like you, I was a traveling evangelist, even though I'm a pastor. As an apostle, I primarily travel. And when the pandemic hit, for me, it was a little bit late 2019, probably early 2020, where our calendar just started to dry up. And we started to do more ministry locally. And, you know, when you're a traveling evangelist, it's rare that you do things where you live, you know? I'm usually traveling, I'm usually out of the state, out of the country, but 2019, at the beginning of 2020, everything shut down. Like Manny, I found myself without money, without income, so forth and so on. Thankfully, I pastored a church. Thankfully, I pastored a church. So at the beginning of this year, actually probably around November of 2020, we saw some restrictions in certain cities begin to roll back. And all of a sudden, our calendar started to get a little trickle, a little drop every now and again until our calendar started to fill up. Now, it started to fill up for 2021. And so we started to pray. It's so funny. You said you walked around the neighborhood. I just walked outside. I went in the backyard and I started to pray because I knew I could not go into a new season with an old word. I couldn't start traveling again and continue to preach the same thing that I was preaching before the pandemic. So I said, Lord, I need you to give me a word. I need you to give me fresh revelation. I need some freshly baked bread out of the oven of heaven. I need you to give me stuff that people ain't heard before. They can't go on YouTube and find it. They can't read a book that I wrote and find it. I need something new. And God spoke these three words to me, and I need you to write these down because it's going to be the foundation for our presentation. These three words, he wrote, he said this. He said, style, substance, seasons. Style, substance, season. Now, I need you to understand, whenever God speaks a word, in every word that God speaks is a galaxy of revelation. Every time God speaks a word, in that one word is what we call a download. It is so much information in that one word that it would take you a lifetime to pray and excavate the revelation that is in that one word. But I tried. I said, Lord, if you give me this, I'm going to go and pray about it. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, Brian, anytime I'm shifting an industry, anytime I'm pivoting an industry, anytime I'm changing a business, I emphasize a new style. In every industry, there are styles. In every industry. If you look at the music industry, there are different genres. Each of those genres have different artists, and each artist has a different style. Some people like Sade. Some people like Anita Baker. Some people have their preferences, but these are all singers, but they have different styles. And anytime God wants to shift the attention in an industry, he emphasizes a new style. As a matter of fact, in order for God to emphasize a new style, he will allow a new problem to arise that the old style cannot address. Oh, I'm gonna preach, just follow me. Even in your life, hear me, this is not just cosmic, we'll get to it. It's not just industry, we'll get to it. It's not just geographic or generational, it's also personal. Whenever God is shifting your focus, whenever God is shifting your passion, it's because there is a new area in you that he desires to develop, that he desires to grow, that he desires to educate, that he desires to train or to skill, to invest in. See, we all, how many people say you're multi-gifted? You have many gifts. You have many gifts. The problem with multi-gifted people is you don't know what gift to use in what season. Like, if I can do music, if I can do movies, if I can do physical training, if I can speak well, these are all gifts that I have, but it's hard for me to develop each gift at the same time. So what God does is that he gives us many different gifts. All of those gifts are designed to be activated in a season of need. But you don't need every gift in every season. So how does God shift the season? By emphasizing a new gift. You heard what I said? So let's say I can draw and I can sing. In a certain season, I'm gonna feel more pressure to draw. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna find myself in art classes. I'm gonna find myself around artists. I'm gonna find myself studying colors and palettes and textures and different types of brushes because that's the season that I'm in. And how do I know? It's because God has put pressure on that gift. I feel a calling towards that. I feel pressure towards that. I have passion towards that. But all of a sudden, all of us have been in a season where our passion will begin to die down. I don't necessarily feel as connected to that as I used to. And all of a sudden, my focus begins to shift. All of a sudden, my passion begins to shift. What is God doing? God initiates new seasons by activating new gifts. Now, it's hard maybe sometimes to compute that personally, but let's compute it within a industry. Let's think about who's hot right now. You know, there was a time when I was growing up. They just had the verses of 3-6 Mafia and Bone Thugs and Harmony. All right. Now I grew up. I was more on the Bone Thugs and Harmony side. More people were on the 3-6 Mafia side, right? Now, if you look at hip-hop, there are eras or eras. There are dispensations. When hip-hop first came out, you had Run-DMC, right? Lyrics weren't weighty. It was just a hip, a hop, a hippie to the hip, hip, hop. See, look at you. You see that? No, she is going in. You know why? Because that was her era. That was her era. She remembers that. But all of a sudden, it started to change. It went from hip hop to, I can't do it. It went from hip hop to gangster rap. The industry, now I need y'all to hear me. Come on, nudge your neighbor and say he's going somewhere. He's going somewhere. Because some of you don't know that the only reason you are hidden now is because God is waiting for the right time to unwrap you so that he can shift the industry. So all of a sudden, hip hop to you don't stop, that started to die. And gangster rap started to rise. So now watch what happens. Anytime God wants to shift an industry, he raises up a new gift. So you have the Run-DMCs that are walking the streets of New York looking for a new gift. And on the street corner, they find somebody like a Biggie. Now, they don't know, even though Biggie's not hot right now, Biggie is perfecting his gift on the street corner. Now, keep following me, all right? Run-DMC don't know he's looking at the future. Whenever God wants to shift an industry, he emphasizes a new style, a new way of doing the old thing. There is not one way to do something. There are many different ways to do a thing, and those many different ways address many different problems. All problems cannot be addressed by the same gift. So God raises up a new gift to fight or to address a new problem so an industry can continue to progress. It's not just true of music. It's not just true in arts and entertainment. It's also true in the church. We are in a season that I call the Great Transition. The Great Transition. The next 5 to 7 years, we will see more pulpits shift than we've ever seen in our lifetime. More fathers and more bishops, more apostles, more potentates and more fellowship leaders, more pastors will retire or expire in the next 5 to 7 years than we've ever seen in our lifetime. And we will begin to see new gifts beginning to emerge. Now hear me, we've seen it in other industries. We haven't seen it in the church. Because the church is the only institution on the planet that holds on to our leaders until they have nothing left. Now, hear me, it's only in the church. Diddy is already looking for his next. Beyonce already found their next. You following me? Because every gifted person understands they have a finite time to accomplish their assignment. They don't have all day to do what God has called them to do. And so they will find somebody that can continue their work when they are done doing their stuff. And it's only in the church that we wait until we old, dusty, rusty, and can't move for us to find somebody to take our place. Now, and this is the problem with the church, is that whenever we try to find somebody to take our place, we look for somebody just like us. But we don't understand that every style sustains a season. Every style sustains an era. And when God wants to shift the era, the last thing he needs is a copycat. Hey, y'all, we are entering the age of originals. In the 50s and 60s, when Jackie Wilson came on the scene, when James Brown came on the scene, when Michael Jackson came on the scene, these were gifts that we had never seen before. This was the first time I saw somebody hit that split, come up in a second. This was the first time I saw somebody moonwalk. I had never seen a gift like this. Manny, I'm upset, man. I'm frustrated in the church because when I look in pulpits, I see the same. Man, God, ain't good. So you telling me our God is a God of diversity? He spoke to the water and fowl and fish came out of the water. Thousands of species of animals he pulled out of the dirt, all looking different, sounding different, all moving different, and all church people look alike, sound the same, and do the same stuff. Whenever God desires to do something new, he will emphasize a new style. And I want to make this corporate, and I want to make this industry, and I want to make this generational, but I can't leave this pressure of feeling like this is also personal. Whenever God wants to do something new, he will find something new in you to emphasize, to activate, to awaken, to wake up so that you don't become dormant and plateau in your own purpose. So whenever God wants to do a new thing, he emphasizes a new gift. It would be irresponsible of me to continue to preach this message and to allow you to think that when I say gift, I'm just talking about a talent. Let's go to Matthew 25, real quick. Matthew 25. When you get Matthew 25, look at verse number 14. Matthew 25, verse number 14. Look at what it says. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Y'all, this is so loaded. Of course, Jesus, we understand, is a master teacher. He is a rabbi of rabbis, meaning that everything that he says has prophetic meaning, significance, and understanding. His words are so deep. Jesus said in John 6 and 63, he said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit, zoe, and life, or spirit, pneuma, and life, zoe. He says they have quickening power. He says every word that I speak has life. So I want you to look at this here. In Matthew 25, verse number 14, Jesus is speaking, and he's telling them a parable. And Jesus is going to juxtapose the kingdom. In order to get us to understand how the kingdom functions, Jesus is going to compare the kingdom to something that we can understand. And this is what he says in verse number 14. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling. Number one, the kingdom of heaven is as a man. That's a whole message by itself. When it says the kingdom of heaven is as a man, number one, please write in your notes, it means it's an organized system. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is not out of order. When God made man, the scripture says that man is fearfully. All right, I'm gonna preach to the people that know their scriptures now. The scripture says that you are fearfully and what? Fearfully means with reverence. Wonder means with creativity. When God made you, he made you with a level of reverence or a level of respect, meaning that he was meticulous with everything that he did, but he also used his wisdom and his creativity to make sure that you weren't like nobody else. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's continue to read now. In verse number 14, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man, as a man. So that means the kingdom of heaven is an ordered system. It is organized. The same way that a man has a head and a heart and a torso and legs, the same way that God designed man in order to accomplish his assignment, the kingdom of God is no different. It is just that meticulously made and designed. But look at what it says. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man, what? Traveling. That means that the kingdom of God is always moving. I need y'all to write this down. We are in a moving kingdom, and we serve a moving God. That means God is always up to something. It don't matter where your life is. It don't matter what you're going through. Even if it seems like your relationships are at a standstill, God knows how to move in stillness. Even if it seems like things are going slow, God is not a respecter of time, and God is not bound by time. Even if your life is moving slow, that don't slow God down. God is a moving God. But it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his good. Y'all, we ain't got time to preach this. Notice, he says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling who called his what? His what? God don't call other people's servants. No man can serve two masters. He's either going to love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. But God don't call money's servant to help him. I'm preaching better than he's shouting. I promise you, I got something. Amen. Hear me. God don't call. If you worshiping Buddha, God ain't calling you. He's only going to call you when you call him. You've got to be willing to put your idol down, and then only then will God use you in his work. Amen. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants unto himself, and he gave them goods. He gave one person 5 talents. Y'all know this, all right? He gave another person 2 talents, and he gave another person 1 talent. Now, even though in the scripture these are called talents, this is also referring to a method of exchange or a method of transaction. Because that's why God gives us gifts. The scripture says every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father of lights. Come on, somebody touch yourself and say, I'm gifted, I'm gifted. Now, I know you may not think you are because you may not have a performance gift. So let's go ahead and teach through this, all right? There are three types of gifts. I want you to write down. Number one, there are natural gifts. Natural gifts. A natural gift is a gift that travels through the blood. It's a gift that usually passes down through hereditary, through generations, through father and mother. So let's say your dad was a basketball player. Your mom ran track. When your dad and your mom come together, those athletic giftings get passed down to the child. It doesn't mean that the child is going to be athletic, but they may have a level of kinesthetic intelligence that other people don't have. They just understand motion and movement, and they can move right. Maybe they become a dancer. Maybe they become a ballerina, but their advantage of athleticism that was passed down from their parents gives them an advantage in life. You following me? It's what we call a natural gift. Some of us can sing because our grandmama could sing. Some of us can dance. We have rhythm or pace or timing because our grandparents or our parents may have had that level of gifting. But that's why we have, that's what we call natural gifts. And we got to thank God for natural gifts. I think in the church, many times we emphasize spiritual gifts and spiritual gifting, and we don't necessarily emphasize natural gifts. Hear me, if your child is naturally gifted, this is the perfect time to invest in their gifting. If you find out that your child can sing, put them in singing classes. If you found out that your child can dance, put them in dance classes or acting classes, but put them in an environment that can cultivate their natural ability. Are y'all here? Hear me, it is usually a person's skill within the gifting that they know that brings a level of confidence. The majority of people in the church are anointed but have low self-esteem because they can do what God told them to do, but they can't use their own abilities. God did not give you those abilities for you to forget those abilities just to depend on spiritual stuff. Can I give you a secret? I'm going to give you a secret. For every entrepreneur and for every creative, God, you have what we call a dominant gift and a secondary gift. Your dominant gift is usually a spiritual gift or a gift of the Spirit that God uses to spearhead your ministry, but your secondary gift is usually a talent or a skill that travels through the blood which God gives you so that you can get a job to sustain your livelihood while you're trying to build your dominant gift. Did you hear what I said? Work a regular job until you can do your entrepreneur stuff. Work a regular job until you can do your ministry. But don't give up on your skill trying to be spiritual. Somebody say, I'm gifted, I'm gifted, I'm gifted, I'm gifted. If you want to find insecurity, come to a church. Have you ever asked yourself the question, like, why is it that I'm gifted, I'm talented, God loves me, but when you put me against my secular counterpart, I'm talking about they living in sin, they doing drugs, acting crazy, and they're more confident than me. I'm gifted, I'm skilled, I'm anointed, I tithe, I worship, and they're getting more opportunities than me. There's natural gifts. Number two, spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, I don't want you to confuse this with gifts of the Spirit. We're going to get to that in just a moment, but this is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And a spiritual gift is the opposite of a natural gift. A natural gift flows within the blood or your genealogy or your family tree. But a spiritual gift is something you can't find within your history. Now, I'm not talking about the gift of the Spirit, all right? We're going to define that in just a moment. But a spiritual gift is something that God gives you sovereignly. It is when God steps over your bloodline and steps over your DNA and steps over your mama and steps over your daddy and gives you something that you need to accomplish your assignment, but God don't have to go through your DNA to give it to you. Man, I don't know about y'all. There are some things I'm glad I got from my parents, but there are other things I'm glad I did not get from my parents. And God is so wise in his wisdom. He knows what to give me, and he knows what not to give me. This is what we call spiritual gifts. Some of y'all can sing, and nobody in your family can hold a note. Where did you get it from? How did you get that talent? How did you get that ability? God gave it to you. It's what we call a spiritual gift. And then number three, just for our notes, we have what we call gifts of the Spirit. You can find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, come on, y'all. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 real quick. Real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, real quick. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Number one, Paul is one of my favorite writers and authors. I think all the Pauline epistles are absolutely phenomenal. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number one. I'm gonna skip around just a little bit. In verse number one, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now, if you're looking at this in your King James version of the Bible, you will notice that the words gifts are in italics. The scripture actually reads, "Now concerning spiritual," and then it keeps going. Now, the word spiritual there is the Greek word pneumatikos. Pneumatikos, all right? The root word for that word is the word pneuma, which is, of course, the Greek word for spirit or breath. Somebody say, "I'm here." All right? Now, why is that important? Because Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, dealing with their carnality, dealing with their flesh, dealing with their humanity. And this is what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. He says, "Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant over spiritual things." Y'all, come on, come on. I need y'all. Okay, okay. Manny, this is what I've learned. If you want to measure a person's spiritual maturity, watch how they handle their gifting. All right, hear me. If you want to measure a person's spiritual maturity, don't listen to them pray. Prayer is great, but don't listen to them pray. Don't watch them worship. Worship is great, but people like to perform. If you really want to know if a person's anointed, see if they manage their gift in private the way they perform in public. Oh, yeah, I can tell if you're spiritual by how you manage the treasures that God has given to you. Do you sit on your gift? Do you ignore your gift? Do you compare your gift? Do you compete with your gift? Or do you thank God for the authenticity that he's given you? Hear me. That shows if you're spiritual. I'm good. Come on, give me a minute. Give me a minute. Give me a minute. Okay, now continue to skip down. And look at this, in verse number 4. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all," in all in all. Everybody say, God is a giver. All right, number one, the Holy Spirit gives gifts. We know this according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are what we call gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. When you get the Holy Spirit don't say, "Hey, thanks for meeting you. It's nice to see you. I'm not going to give you nothing." No, God is a giver. So when you come in contact with the Holy Spirit, he desires to give you gifts. He desires to give you gifts, all right? So the Holy Spirit gives gifts. We don't have time to get into it now, but I want you to write down Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The scripture says, "Who is it that first descended, who now has ascended and given gifts of men?" Talking about Jesus. He's given us the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So not only does the Holy Spirit give gifts, the Son gives gifts. The son gave gifts to his bride. I ain't got time, y'all. But on his wedding day, the son gave gifts to his bride. The gifts that God gave to the church was the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Those were the bride's wedding gifts. Right? But also, God gives gifts. Not only does the Holy Spirit give gifts, not only does the Son give gifts, but also the Father give gifts. John chapter 3, verse number 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So hear me, if God is a giver, and if the Son is a giver, and if the Holy Spirit is a giver, what are you doing with your gift? No, come on now. I know we all got the excuse that, hey, we've been in COVID, we've been locked down, we've been shut down. But now churches are beginning to feel, malls are beginning to feel. How long are you going to sit there looking good, not doing nothing with your gift? I'm done. How does God give gifts? Now, it's Christmas time. If you go to the mall right now, hear me, it is packed. Everybody looking for gifts. What if I told you we are in a season where God is doing the same thing? I ain't got time. What if I told you the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, looking for a leader somewhere? Can I find anybody? And hear me, one of the things I love about God, he don't get toys that say batteries not included. When God looks for a gift, he looks for somebody that has the excitement and the faith and the belief and the courage and the confidence and the zeal. I ain't got time. He looks for somebody that is self-sustaining, batteries included. They have zeal to do what God has called them to do. God starts looking. See, I wish I could take them to the book of Hebrews when Jesus said, make me a body. Because this is what God does. Can I tell y'all this? Lady LaShawn, I don't know where you were when you found out Santa wasn't real. But I remember where I was. I was at my grandmother's house. It was Christmas Eve. And I had asked for a red bike. That's all I wanted. I wanted a red bike. I said, I want Santa to bring me a red bike. So it was cold, it was dark, and we had bunk beds. Because, you know, we all went to grandmother's house, so it's like seven of us trying to sleep in two bunk beds. I was on the bottom bunk, right by the window. It had to be like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was asleep. I heard a car door slam. Santa? I'm wiping the sleep out of my eyes, and I heard something outside. I heard something mumbling and cussing. Get. I said, is Santa mad? So what is that? I pulled back the curtain. It was my dad smoking a cigarette trying to take this red bike out of the trunk. I said, is that my bike? And I said this to myself. I said, if I wake up in the morning and see that red bike under the tree, I'm going to know Santa ain't real. I went to sleep, woke up early the next morning, ran into the living room. To my surprise, that red bike that I saw my daddy yanking out of the car was under the tree. And I knew it wasn't real. See, my dad wasn't like most parents that tried to hide the present. Because this is what a good parent does. After they find the gift that their child wants, the first thing they do is hide it. I need y'all to hear me. When God finds the gift that he likes, the first thing he does is hide it. I wish I had time. Some of y'all feel like God has forgotten you. It's because he's hiding you to unwrap you at the right time. When Jesus was born, you would have think for God to put Jesus in Mary, that would have been enough. No, an unassuming young virgin, 14-year-old girl, why would anybody assume that something great was coming out of her? But look at how great our God is in his wisdom. Not only is he going to put Jesus in someone unsuspecting, he's then going to put him in a manger. I'm a 14-year-old girl. Why traumatize me when all you got to do is give me one room at the inn? No. I don't want anybody to see how you're developed. I don't want anybody to see how I'm raising you up in the dark. See, if I had time, I would show you that the reason Jesus had to be born around animals is because the first Adam was born around animals. I wish I could show you that whenever God is raising a great gift, the way he makes sure that you know how authentic you are, he raises you around animals So you can say, that ain't me, 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 that ain't. I know who I am, that ain't me. That don't sound like me, and that don't look like me. I'm not one of them. You would have thought being born in a manger was good enough. No, God said, I'm sending Jesus to Egypt. Herod has put out a decree to kill all potential. I ain't got time. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna send him to Egypt so that they cannot kill him in his infancy. See, the reason when you got that idea to start the business, when you got that idea to start the company, the reason God hid it is because there were bigger companies that wanted to eat you up. That's why you couldn't launch it when you wanted to and start it when you wanted to, because God wanted to protect it in its infancy. You would have thought that would have been enough. Jesus finds himself in the temple. Maybe this is my moment. Maybe now God will use me. Now maybe the door is going to open. I got revelation. I got wisdom. I can answer questions. And they said, what are you doing? Wait, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? It's not your time yet. Go back to Nazareth and learn how to work wood. You know, wood in the scripture represents flesh. And you're waiting for an opportunity. God is waiting for you to master your flesh. See, a carpenter knows how to take a trunk of wood and make a table. God's waiting for you to take your flesh and make order out of it. So I ain't got time. So what God does, he takes a gift. He hides it. A good parent knows how to hide a gift. Y'all don't remember as kids going to look for them Christmas gifts? I got to find them. And they hid them. They hid them great. But not only did he hide them, after they hid it, they would wrap it. Jesus said, make me a body. And so God wrapped him in flesh, wrapped his divinity in humanity, wrapped his supernaturalness in something common. Manny, God wrapped divinity in humanity so that only spiritual people could discern who Jesus was. God always wraps big gifts in small packages so that nobody can misconstrue where the glory's gonna come from. He wrapped it. Hear me. I need y'all to hear me. I'm done. Thank you so much. We have entered a season of your unwrapping. There are gifts in you that God wants to unwrap. There's potential in you that God wants to unwrap. There are new ideas that God wants to unwrap. There are graces and anointings and gifts and opportunities that God wants to unwrap. Hear me, but he ain't gonna do it for you. Are you willing to pull back the shame, the guilt, the disappointment, the trauma, the abuse, the divorce, the foreclosure? Are you willing to pull back the layers of your shame to give God worship and to give God praise? Are you willing to take off everything that you have? Take off the addiction, take off the low self-esteem, take off whatever you have put on. So this is what we're gonna do. Just for 60 seconds, and then we're gonna get ready to give, because I feel like somebody is at the edge of a miracle. You are right at the edge of another level, another season. God is about to do something great in your life, but you've gotta be willing to. You willing to take it all? COVID done covered some of y'all with fear, disappointment, indifference. Some of y'all ain't expecting nothing from God. Just like, Lord, it's gonna be whatever it's gonna be. But there's others of us, hear me, I know. Yes, if I had time. You notice when you go, when you wake up Sunday morning and you look under the tree, you can't tell what the gift is based on the wrapping. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. That means even though I don't know what's in the box, I gotta approach it with the same expectation, knowing that God knows exactly what I need. And when I open the box, it's gonna be exactly what I need. So I can't approach it like, what is that? I gotta approach it like, y'all know what we do. How do you know this is your season? Because it feels like God is ripping your life apart. How do you know this is your season? Because it feels like God is shaking your life up. How do you know that it's your season? You're under a tree. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You feel unseen. You feel forgotten. You feel invisible. But God wants to remind you, this is your season of purpose. I'm about to raise you up, and I'm about to unwrap you. And if you believe it, give them praise for it real quick. I said, if you believe it, give them praise real quick as your praise unwraps another season, another level, another grace, another gift. God's about to do. Unwrap, y'all. Unwrap it by your worship. Unwrap it by your praise. New gifts, new graces, new anointings, new ministry, new mantles, new anointing, new ideas, new businesses, new ministry. Somebody shout, brand new, 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 brand new. Give them praise for 30 seconds, y'all. Brand new, brand new, brand new. That's my declaration. As I get ready to cross over into a brand new year, everything I see, brand new. Brand new. I'm good. Do me a favor, look at everybody around and say, brand new, brand new, brand new, brand new. Now, this is what you gotta remember. Brand new ain't coming from the outside. Brand new is coming from the new confidence, new strength, new stamina, new focus, new concentration, new endurance. Brand new, brand new, brand new. I'm done. I'm done. Come on, somebody say I'm gifted. See, I want you to understand. Every gift has a different grace. Pastors have a different grace. Evangelists have a different grace. As an apostle, I have a different grace. See, my grace, see, apostles are initiated from meeting the resurrected Christ. So a part of my anointing is to wake up stuff. All right, see, I can't talk without new ideas waking up. You follow me? I can't talk without new gifts waking up. So I want you to understand, we are in a moment of activation. What you could not do before today. Hear me, what did not work before today. Look at somebody and say, try it again, try it again. All right, we gotta go. The Father gives gifts. The Son gives gifts. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. Now what we gonna do? All right, now I need you to hear me. I'm gonna give you a pastoral word. I'm a pastor, all right? I'm a pastor. The greatest ability you have is your availability. Did you hear me? We need strong churches. We need strong churches. COVID has we're praying for everybody in Kentucky, Tennessee, Memphis, everybody that's dealing with this storm. But I want you to see in the natural, that's how the church looks like in the spirit. What that tornado did to the Midwest, that's what COVID did to the church. Churches that used to have thousands are empty because people are afraid. So I need you to hear me. As we end our inter-revival, we need you. Hello? Hello? I said we need you. Volunteers, servant leaders, people that are working cameras and singing, like, we need you. The only way the church is going to be strong, we need you. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be doing now what you were doing before the pandemic, because you got new gifts. You got other abilities. But we should all be doing something. We should all be doing something. This is what we want to do. We want to sow in this moment as we try to, as we wrap this up, as we end it, but as we put a period in this winter revival, we want to sow. There are those of you that have pledges toward our vision project, toward everything that Pastor Andy is doing, toward what we are building here at World Overcomers, and we want to sow into that. If you have a pledge, I want you to stay faithful to your pledge, but we want to give. We want to sow into this word. Hear me. I know it's hard, but it's because God has allotted your gift for a certain season. I love it because God don't put gifts on layaway. Hear me. If he got it, it's because he bought it full price. I ain't got time. Hear me, every gift you have, you should be confident because he purchased it by his blood. That's why I don't discount my gift, because God didn't discount it. God died to give me this. Who am I to sit on it? Who am I to think I'm not good enough? This is a phenomenal church. Your future is phenomenal. But the only way it's going to be secure, we need every person in the house unwrapping themselves, finding their potential, finding their authenticity, and finding their gift. Let's put our hands together for the word of God. All right. Come on, get your gift. Pastor Manny is coming. Get your gift prepared, and we're going to pray over it, and we're going to give to God. Bless you. Thank you so much for your time.
Can we give it up for Apostle Meadows? Come on. Did you hear a word today? Did you hear a word today? Man, Apostle Meadows, thank you. Come on, let's get our offering ready. Even as Apostle Meadows is talking, I was texting my wife up in our pledge, talking about how we're gonna give. Come on, I got faith. Come on, we got a QR code on the screen. If you need an offering envelope, just wave at us. Come on, if you need an offering envelope, wave at us. If you need an offering envelope, wave at us. One of these guys in blue will get you an offering envelope. Get your phone out. Come on, let's give. Let's give quickly, and we can pray. And come on, who's excited for going into a new week? Come on, you got a good word. You're going into a new week. I worked out for the first time in a long time yesterday with my brother, Pastor Joshua Sissel, and he did me dirty, put me on a treadmill, put me on an elliptical machine, put me on a Stairmaster, made me do push-ups, just totally abused his power in the situation. And as we were leaving, I was complaining, and a random guy stopped me and Steve and Josh, and he said, you know, it's okay, I'm down 45 pounds. I said, okay, man. And he said, I know you're in pain, but it'll only take 1 week for this to feel better. 1 week and this will start feeling a whole lot better. Come on. If giving hurts now, come on, 1 week and it'll start feeling better. Come on. If praise hurts now, come on, 1 week, it'll start feeling better. Come on. It hurts right now because maybe you're out of shape, but you start stretching that giving muscle and it won't hurt the next time. So come on, who's ready to give? Come on, buckets are passed. Have you given on your phone? Come on, if you gave on your phone, come on, wave at me. If you're giving virtually, wave at me. If you're online and you're giving, come on. We want you to sow into the word. The word of God is a seed, so we respond to seed with seed. That's why we sow financially whenever a word goes forward. So, all right, let's pray over the offering. God, we thank you for every gift, for every giver. God, we seal the word that you spoke in the house today. God, thank you for the gift that rests on Apostle Meadows' life. God, thank you for the spirit of rejuvenation that's been on our pastor. God, we look forward to Christmas. We look forward to hearing from our pastor on December 26th. God, we ask that whatever we're sowing today, whether by check or cash or by electronic payment, God, would you press it down, shake it together, cause it to run over, and have a 30, 60, and 100-fold increase in every single area of our life. God, we want our finances to be touched. We want our families to be touched. God, we want every area of our life to be touched as a result of being obedient in this offering. In Jesus' name, God, keep us safe as we leave this place. We're leaving this place, but we're not leaving your presence. God, we ask that you would keep us safe and secure in our cars. God, keep us safe until we meet again next Sunday. Come on, in the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And we all say together, amen, 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 amen. World Overcomers, you are dismissed. We love you. Go forward in the presence of the Lord.